Welcome back, everyone, to Oh My Lanta. So, guys, this is episode 6. We're getting there. I think I've mentioned this before, but it's like the thing that, like, my dad told me this, so I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know if it's real or not. Sorry, Dad. But but I guess it said that, like, most podcasts or something like that, a percentage doesn't make it past 7 episodes. So I think we're on the right track so far. I think I got enough in me for at least 2 more. No, I'm kidding. This is fun. It's chill. Yeah. I hope everybody's weeks have been going well. My week has been going pretty good. It's the end of the week. I'm actually recording this on Sunday. Which I feel like is pretty late. I feel like I've typically recorded this on like a Thursday, but it's just been busy. Been hanging out with friends, which is really nice. Trying to keep myself busy. Yeah, it's been good. I guess been soaking up the heat. And it looks like, let me look at the forecast, because when I'm bored at work, I just have literally like the monthly calendar of the forecast. And okay, yeah. So for Chicago, I don't see anything over 75 degrees predicted. Now, granted, that can change lickety-split. But if you're in the Chicago area, bring an umbrella, because it looks rainy. But anyways, that's your forecast section. Okay, so last episode I talked about Gilmore Girls a lot. And it was really sweet. My dad said this podcast is his Gilmore Girls, and that made me emotional, which is just, it's really adorable. But I had a good amount of people message me about that episode. So that was just fun to hear, like, all that feedback and stuff. And I'm so appreciative and thankful to those of you that want to give up an hour or less of your time listening to me talk. Like, it's just really nice, and it's super sweet. I mean, granted, I guess I'm doing this for myself and to make my own little space, but it's just so sweet that, like, people want to, like, indulge that, and it's really nice. But okay, I have a Gilmore Girls update. Excuse me. Okay, so I'm only on season 6, episode 7. I've slowed down a lot because Rory is insufferable. I want to strangle her. Not legitimately, but, like, it's getting there. She is driving me crazy. And it's so funny because I was FaceTiming with my friend Jess this past week, and we were talking about Gilmore Girls, and we were talking about, like, the love interests for Rory and stuff like that. And I said, there's this character, Logan, spoiler alert, I liked him at first, but now I can't stand him. I'm like, oh, it's so funny at how me talking about that character, how many days ago was that? Wednesday? 4 days ago? How my opinion has changed that much in 4 days? Because I've still watched a good amount. But like, I cannot stand him whatsoever. I want him gone. I want him to leave the show. he's so bad for Rory, and I cannot stand Rory right now. She is so annoying, and I think that's why I've kind of slowed down. Now, granted, I'm still going to finish the show. It might just all of a sudden take me a week longer than it would have, but it's killing me. It's killing me. She's whiny. I'm happy that her hairstyle has changed. Not that that literally matters at all, but her hair is longer now, and she's got the bangs again, which I don't know how I feel about those, but like, I don't know. I just can't stand her. And she's only 20. And the way that she's, like, acting is just so, she just needs to get a reality check to the face. But that's how I feel about that. And, yeah, so I'm just going to keep taking my time with that. I am interested to watch the, oh, is it like a year in review or something? It's something like that, but, like, Netflix brought it back for, like, a few episodes or something. So that, I'm interested to see what that's like. But yeah, so Gilmore Girls update. But okay, so something about me is when I hyperfixate on a show, I really can't watch anything else at the same time, because subconsciously all I'm thinking is I want to watch the other show that I'm more committed to watching. But since Rory's driving me nuts, I was kind of in this place of like, oh, I want to put something on, but I don't know, but I don't want it to be like a commitment show to where there's like a bunch of seasons, you know? So like, I wouldn't want to watch like Grey's Anatomy or something, because I also don't like starting shows and not finishing them once I've started them. Like, if I start, like, we'll continue using Grey's Anatomy. If I start Grey's Anatomy, I have to keep watching it until I finish it. But then at some point I'll get burnout and then, like, stop watching at, like, season 8. But it's a rough cycle. It's my first world problems. But because I was annoyed with Rory, I watched Agatha All Along, which I have been playing with my Disney Plus subscription. I was part of that first wave of people that you like pre-signed up before it even came out. And I think I just went ahead and paid the full year subscription because I was like, I'm gonna want this. But recently I've been drawing back on my subscriptions. I just cut Amazon, which like, okay. So I almost said side quest. Well, say side quest. I wish Amazon had a way to where you could just get Prime and pay that individual subscription, because I don't need Amazon Music. I don't need Amazon Prime. Like, I rarely use Prime ever. And like, I just wish there was a way where it was like $4.99 a month and you get the Prime shipping and then you also don't pay shipping. You know, like I wish they had that, because that I would keep. But like, once my student discount went off, it's expensive. And especially for different things, for all the stuff that you're getting with it that you just have to get with it that I'm not using. So it's just a waste, and I decided to stop. And I'll probably get it again once like Christmas time comes around and I'm getting gifts and stuff like that, because I really do use Prime a lot. But I've been drawing back on like my subscriptions and stuff. And Disney Plus is another one of mine. And they are just expensive. When I first got Disney Plus, I think, man, I swear it was like, maybe it was $9.99. And I think now it's $14.99. I could be wrong, but it's something like that. Like, it's significant. It's over $10 a month. And I was just like, I was rarely using it. And then all these just crappy shows were coming out, like, on it, and I just was not thrilled and like excited to watch them. But they have this deal right now where like, if you've paused your subscription, you can start it back up, and it's $1.99 a month for 3 months. And I was like, heck yeah, I'll do that. So started it up, which I think it goes till the 27th, the offer, so get your offer. But I knew Agatha All Along was coming out, obviously. And I was unsure if I was going to watch it like as it came out, or if I was going to wait for all to be out at once so then I can like watch it. But my issue is that I'm chronically online. I'm always on TikTok. If I'm not on TikTok, I have a YouTube video playing, or like I'm scrolling Instagram. I'm really trying to get better at it. And be more mindful and spend my time doing better things for my brain. But also sometimes I just need to tune out everything and watch stupid videos on TikTok. But my issue is that I see people post stuff about the shows like nonstop, and they'll see different like theories and things. And sometimes I don't connect the dots right when I see it. But then once I connect that dot, I'm like, dang it, And then I start thinking about, oh, is that what that character is? And that. And then I just spiral thinking about all these characters and their stories and stuff like that. So I was like, I think I'm going to watch Agatha All Along. And you guys, I love it. I do have to say I was kind of nervous just because of how Marvel shows have been going recently. not because of, like, my doubting, like, the actors or anything. Like, I love it. And I love, like, witchy stuff. Like, I mean, I am a Christian woman, but, like, I love, like, spooky, witchy, the, like, vibe that comes with it. I hate that word vibe, but it describes it perfectly. But, like, just, like, the, like, purpley, like, autumn hues and blues and stuff like that. And it's more like a, I don't know, it's, I love it so much. It feels so comforting and just, like, yeah, it's just the perfect, this, obviously they brought it out because of the time of the year and stuff like that, and they're matching it with that, but it's, like, it's so perfect. Light a candle when you watch it, because that will give the atmosphere, like, a perfect, the perfect notch that you need it to be, because it's just, it's so fun. Also have, like, I don't know, a cup of coffee or some tea. I've recently been doing English tea with a little bit of coffee creamer, and it's, oh, the white, it's what, like, white mocha coffee creamer, and just a little bit, but it's really good. So have that while you watch Agatha All Along. Like, it's so good. And I have to be honest, I was really nervous about Patti LuPone. She kills me. I don't know. She just drives me nuts. Not, like, I don't hate her. Like, try not to hate anybody. But, like, she just kind of drives me nuts. She's very obnoxious, which, like, I probably am too. But I was like, oh, man, what's Patti LuPone doing here? And and in, like, situations and stuff, nobody else gets this because it's an inside joke with myself. I don't know where it came from or what, but I think I just randomly said it in my head one day, and it was just about someone, like, it's kind of like the person that's, like, they're everywhere, you don't need to see them, but it's, like, but I just put Patti LuPone's name on it, and I was like, what's Patti LuPone doing here? And it just cracked me up, and I don't even remember who I was thinking about or anything. I think her name just came into my mind, and it's been an inside joke with myself. And that's how I felt when I saw that she was cast in the show. But honestly, she's doing really well. They only have 2 episodes out, but, like, the cast is so good, and I really, really, really am hopeful that it continues that way, because this, Marvel needs this. Marvel needs this to do well. Like, they really do. And I hope that it, that they stay on this track, because so far they're doing something right. And, like, it's just, please watch it. Watch it if you're a Marvel fan and you've kind of lost hope. Like, don't listen to the reviews or anything, because it's, people are already hating on it. Everybody wants to hate on anything that's woman-led show anyways. But it's really good. And, like, I can admit when things are cringy or stuff like that, or so much, like, woman power and stuff like that. Like, some media sometimes really makes things cringy and embarrassing like that, to be, like, a fellow woman and be like, this is how we're being represented. This is embarrassing. But this, so far, I'm like, I love this. This is perfect. Give me more, please. And yeah, so please go watch it. Wow, I guess that's just my endorsement of Agatha All Along. But it also just makes me so excited about the season, and I know that's, like, all I talk about at all, like, all the time. But, like, oh man, I've talked with my friends. One of my friends, he was talking about a group of us going to a haunted house. Which, he listens to this podcast. So, hi, Nathaniel. he wants to go to a haunted house. And I'm very excited. I want to go. But you know what terrifies me? Is, so I have submechanic phobia. Like, really bad. And if you, like, don't have it, you don't get it. Because my thing is, like, people don't like water rides because, like, of, like, the animatronics, like, around them and stuff like that. Or, like, oh, well, this is a good example. People don't like It's a Small World because of all the kids, like, all the creepy, like, dolls and stuff. They don't like it because of that. I don't like it because of the murky water. It's literally, you guys have no idea, there's goosebumps forming on my arms right now. It freaks me out. I don't know what this is. There's something about the murky water And it's always like shallow too. Okay, I'm. It's shallow. And it's the idea of these gears moving underneath the water, and like if they're rusty and like there's a big oh, what's that kind of boat called? Oh man. Oh no, I forgot it. There's a big boat at the end of It's a Small World. It's a Small World. And it's when they're all like dressed in like the unifying like white and blue colors or whatever. And there's like a boat rocking back and forth, but you can see the discoloration on the bottom of it. That also freaks me out for some reason. It's just so gross. Like the idea of like them, it all just sitting there too and just floating. And like, I'm not scared that something's haunted or anything. It's just sitting there. It's so ominous and like, and I think a part of it started from, I made this connection a couple weeks ago when I went to the Kalahari, and I think that part of my sun mechanic phobia came from when I was a kid and when my parents and my friend Bailey, we all went to the Kalahari, and I think it was for my birthday, or one of them was for their birthday, something, but it doesn't matter. But we went, and at the time, the way the Kalahari was set up in this swimming area, there was like this floating turtle thing, but he was like anchored down to the ground, like to the bottom of the pool I almost said by an anchor. That's not true. By a big old chain. And I remember being underwater and like freaking out from the sounds of the chain underneath the water. And like that. I think that started something in my brain because also I'm so happy that I never got to ride the Jaws ride because I think I would thoroughly like throw up and then pass out. There's something it's so freaky about like the endoskeleton of like the animatronic just sitting in water. Ew. Okay, I have to stop talking about this. But circling back to the haunted, I almost said haunted mansion, to the haunted house point. Is that I want to go, but I'm so terrified because recently I've seen haunted houses online do this effect with fog. And they're putting like fog on like the lower half or like quarter of the floor. And then they're projecting like a swamp, like swamp lands on top of it. And then they like scare you, or things pop out from underneath that to where it's like at like your waist or something where it's popping out at. And that makes me want to die. I think I would pee my pants. Like that freaks me out so much. And I don't think I would be able to move forward. I don't think I would be able to walk. And now watch me saying this. I'm probably manifesting that they're gonna have that effect at the one that we go to. But like, it's terrifying the thought of that. It's so scary. And like, I cannot. It's also like a texture thing too. Sorry, just thinking about like, ugh. I don't know, you guys. Look up submechanic phobia and look at look at videos of it or something because it's terrifying. It's terrifying. yeah, so I'm really scared that that's gonna happen to me because I don't know what I'll do. I really might pass out. And then maybe they'll take pity on me and the scarers will be like, hey, we'll just walk you out of here. But who knows? But the last time, too. Well, no, not the last time. I went to, what is it, Fright Fest, I think. That's what it's called at Six Flags. That'll be 3 years ago next month. And like that was fun, but like also it really wasn't that scary, like at all. I mean, I definitely was freaked out, but I also just remember like yelling nice things back at the scarers. And I think that was my way to cope with it. I don't know. I don't know. It just, but the only other one I remember going to is when I was like, I was probably older than 10, but I went with one of my sisters, and it was freaky. It was scary and I did not like it. And I'm hoping to have a better experience. You know, I want to go so badly. I really want to go to the Horror Nights at Hollywood's not Hollywood Studios, what am I saying? Universal. But I really want to go into the Ghostbusters what's the new movie called? The like Frozen Nation. I have to look it up. Ghostbusters. Frozen Empire. Look, I was on the right track, not nation. But Frozen Empire, that one looks crazy. I really want to do that. I would love to do that. And then the Blumhouse one, that looks really cool too. Yeah, those ones look fun. There are these YouTubers, Ordinary Adventures. Look them up. They're super fun. Peter and Kitra. I always wished that I saw them when I worked at Disney, but I never did. But they did like walkthroughs of the houses and stuff, and I watched all those. And it's so crazy at how detailed they all are. Like, there's this one, and it's like mythical, but it's like Santa's workshop or something like that. Or was it Santa? I don't know. There were ones with like little elves and stuff like that, and it just looks so fun. I'm like, I would never want to leave that house. Like, I would just want to keep going and going and going in there. Look it up. Look it up. It's really fun. Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm stretching. So this is so random, but I had this feeling today. Do you know what the epitome? I always thought it was epitome, but I guess it's not. The epitome of that sounds so stupid. Hold up. How do you say this word? We're gonna get a live epitome pronunciation. Let's have.
Epitome.
Okay. I'm.
Epitome.
Yeah, epitome. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. Anyways, the I gotta go back to grammar school. This is embarrassing. The epitome of wanting something when you can't have it is Chick-fil-A. It's Chick-fil-A on a Sunday. I swear I never crave Chick-fil-A. Ever, ever, unless it's on a Sunday, and I'm like, I want Chick-fil-A, and then it's the instant crap. It's Sunday. That is just the biggest gag of them all. I cannot. That it's the epitome of wanting something when you cannot have it. And okay, this is another random thing. These are my two random things. Do you guys ever have like an itch on your hand or on like a finger or something? And like scratching it does not help. And so I'm really exposing myself here. But the people that know me know where this is going because I've asked them this question. But if you're just scratching it with your other hand and it's not helping, the only way to truthfully get the itch to go away is use your teeth. Because sometimes I will have an itch in like the palm of my hand, and that sucker will not go away, and it's driving me nuts. I gotta scratch it with my teeth. Like, and if you're judging me, judge away. But when you come, the next time you come across an itch that won't go away in your hand or on your finger, you just think about this and try it or don't. But also make sure your hands are clean. It's not like I'm putting like dirty hands in my mouth. But yeah, I just wanted to ask that and see if anybody else could relate to that. Okay, let's switch it over. So recently, I have been reading this book, and as someone that's dealt with like anxiety, depression, overthinking, for well over a decade, this book, it's really crazy at how much it's kind of helping already. And I mean, like, wow, that was really loud, and someone with their door. And like, it comes in waves and stuff. There are different, I hate the word triggers, but like, there are different triggers that, like, affect me differently at different points. So it's not always like I'm at the worst possible every single day. There are just different periods that it hits me with. And it might be a couple years till I deal with another bad episode or like time period or something like that. But it's just interesting. It's an ongoing kind of experience that I have. And so I've always tried to kind of read stuff about like mindfulness and things. And I'll put it out there. I put a lot of it in prayer, and that helps me a lot. It helps me get those worries off my chest. But it's so interesting because this book has really given me like a perspective kind of shift. Now, granted, am I going to be perfect and doing everything exactly as the book says or advises? No, because I'm human and I'm still learning. But it's crazy at how already what I've read, how much I'm like, oh yeah, it's that. It's just that. And it's so funny too, because there's the joke of like, oh, you have anxiety? Just don't. Or you're depressed? Just don't be. And it's not that easy, because it is a chemical, like, imbalance in your body. It's a chemical imbalance in your body. And it's like, and I'm taking medication for this stuff right now too, and I'm still not seeing the full effects because I'm still early on. But it's interesting too at how it's like, okay, well, I'm trying to perfect the chemical imbalance in my body, but now let's try to rewire mentally how I think about this too, and think about the situations and stuff like that to better myself. And so I want to talk about the book. So it's called Don't Believe Everything You Think. It's by Joseph Wynn. And it's Why Your Thinking is the Beginning and End of Suffering. And it's a small read. I mean, I haven't gone through it all yet because I want to like take my time with it and make sure I'm really soaking up everything it has to offer and not like just like, oh, let's get this done. But it's really interesting. At the back of the book, they give you like framework and notes on like how to continue this, like, not lifestyle, but maybe just like habit changer. And it's only like 120 pages. Like, it's a really easy read. And I want to read just like a little excerpt. Is that the word? How I say that? Yeah, excerpt. About it. So I'm just going to read a couple key points that I think is so interesting so far. So it says, reality is that the event happened with no meaning, thinking, or interpretation of it. Our feelings do not come from external events, but from our own thinking about the events, which I think is really interesting. And that's not to like invalidate someone's experience that they had with something, but it is interesting though, because I think of my own experiences and stuff, or when I've been like really hurt or just been through different things. And it's crazy to think I feel like it's so obvious, but at the same time, when you're going through it, it's not. But like, when you step back out of the situation and think of how I'm going to say, it's crazy at how simplified it kind of seems. But truly, it's like how it affects you for the rest of your life is how you view it and how you choose to let it affect you. Which I saw someone too that was like, it was a post on TikTok, but it really made me think about it. But it was like, you know, I've gone through all these things in my life and these different experiences. It's time that I stop saying I am the way I am because of these things. Instead, I'm going to take ownership and change how I view things to continue my life. Not to like say, it's just who I am because of this, but it's like, how can I do better instead? Does that make sense? I don't know if it does. But it's like taking ownership instead of saying like, these things happen to me. Like, and claiming it in like a victim kind of light, which I think I've done in the past, and instead like moving forward, accepting, okay, these things happened, how can I go forward in my day? And I think if those themes are so easy to just hear, but doing them is a whole other thing. Good grief, like that's a lot. And that's what I was saying, like I'm learning all these things and I'm gonna try to take on these new perspectives and how to like go through my everyday life, but obviously I'm gonna slip up because I'm human, and because each new day is exactly what it is, a new day for me, and I'm gonna mess up, but that's okay because I'm trying. And so this is another one. It says the root of our suffering is our own thinking. And it says, if we know that we can only ever feel what we are thinking, then we can change our feelings by changing our thinking. Which, it's just so crazy because I try not to hold a grudge towards things. I really try not to, because I know that that doesn't serve me well. My neighbors are leaving their apartment right now, and it's loud. But see, I'm letting that affect me. And that's crazy because they don't know that that's affecting me. And that's what this next thing that I'm going to talk about is insane about. But it's like, we just have to keep going on with our everyday lives and take the assumption that no one is trying to like negatively affect us around us. And like, if something bothers me at work, I can't let that affect the rest of my day, which I feel like that once again is like simple thinking. But it's so crazy because in this book it said, like, imagine you're watching TV with your family and everybody is there like enjoying the show, but you're thinking about something negative that happened at work, so that's taking you out of the moment of enjoying the show. But it's also said, like, but you should be happy in this moment with your family watching your show. But the thing is that everybody else watching it could be thinking a different thing and also not in the moment. So it's crazy because you're physically there in the moment, but your mind isn't. And every single person could possibly be perceiving that moment in a different way. And it's so crazy at how like the human brain works and how then that correlates to how you get along with others and how you perceive others. Because I'm constantly trying to see, and that's something that I think I've been trying to get better at, but I used to always assume if somebody's tone changed with me, I did something wrong, trying to predict how they felt about me. When the truth is that until someone tells me they have a problem with me or they don't like something that I did, it's not my problem because they haven't decided to tell me. And if they never decide to tell me, then that's on them. It's not my fault. And obviously here I am saying this, so I know it, but I still struggle with that. And I still think like it's a direct attack if someone's tone shifts with me or they don't respond back fast enough to me, or like I get very hyper aware and I get anxious. And but it's just trying to realize that like there are so many different factors in our life, that in other people's lives too, obviously everybody's, that change how each like interaction happens, that like I said, it's not your problem until someone brings it to you. So this is kind of, he told this story about this monk and how he was trying to, meditate. He was trying to meditate, but every time in the monastery, I think that's the word, he would try to meditate, he kept getting distracted by different things and he would get really angry about it. And, kind of like, how could you make these sounds? How could you do these things while I'm, obviously trying to meditate, trying to focus? How dare you? And he would get really angry and pent up. So then one day he took a boat out into the middle of this like lake, and he was finally able to concentrate and focus, until one day after doing that for a couple of days, a boat started to come towards him while he was meditating, and he heard it and he kept shouting at the boat like,
stop, don't you see I'm here, you're going to hit me. And he would get really angry and very, and like so angry, and obviously he couldn't meditate anymore. And the thing is, the boat did hit him, but he saw that there was no one on the boat. And it made him realize that he was getting angry at something that no one was controlling. And so this is kind of what they said, and it's kind of like a summary of it. It's not other people, situations, or circumstances. It's not the empty boat, but my reaction to it that causes my anger. All the people or situations that make me upset and angry are like the empty boat. They don't have the power to make me angry without my own reaction. And like that, oh my gosh, that is just insanely insightful. And I hope someone is having the same reaction that I did when reading that, because like it almost brought tears to my eyes and kind of gave me like, I'm getting emotional right now, but it just, oh, it's so crazy. Sorry. We spend our lives so worried about how we're being perceived, or like how angry we can get with when things don't go away, or when there's I don't even know what I'm saying. It's just, it's crazy at how it's just all how you think about it. It's the, is the glass half empty? Is the glass half full? And it's so simple. It's so stupidly simple at how, at how our lives can just be better fulfilled and have more like gratitude, I feel like, towards everyday life, just changing that perspective. And like when I see people that live so free, I understand that they're not caged in their minds. And I want to be at that point. I want to be so endlessly grateful and thankful to God, and just so at peace in my own mind. And I think it's so hard because for so long I felt trapped in my own mind, and so worried of how I am being perceived. And for so long I have tried to control that, of how people see me. And that's not my job. That's not my job. All I need to be, and all anybody needs to be, is just be your true heart. And if people want to see you as a mean and awful person, then that's on them. That's them projecting how they feel about themselves. Or maybe you had a down moment and that's the only moment they experienced of you. But if somebody's going to latch on to that feeling or experience or interaction like that they had with you, and that's how they perceive you now, that's on them, because they haven't spent the time to know your true heart and know yourself. And I just, oh my gosh, I'm 24, and like I know I'm going to be continually learning and growing in this, because this is somewhere that I lack, and I want to get better at it. And just like, just finding peace with myself and moving to the own beat of my drum. I feel like I'm using so many like symbolistic or whatever sayings, but I really just want to be able to live free of my own mind and my own overthinking, because overthinking and the what ifs are the enemy. And it's not me. It's not rational. It's not valid. It's stupid. And it's me trying to protect. It's not even me. I don't know. It's just trying to protect myself or from future situations, but it causes situations on its own or problems. And I don't need that anymore. That doesn't serve me. That doesn't serve my life. And if anything, it harms me and harms those around me. And yeah, okay. Well, wasn't expecting to cry, but that's my little soapbox on that.
I don't know. I think something else too recently I've really been trying to do is I feel like I've always been very hyper independent, and if I wanted to do something I would go do it. And obviously, like, I've always had so many friends. Wait, that sounds so cocky. But I just mean, like, I've always had, like, my, like, tight-knit few friends, like, in close, not close corners, but just, like, distant-wise. They've always been close near me. So I could go do things with them or all that. And, but I have been hyper-independent. But I feel like within the past couple of years, I've become very complacent and dependent and have kind of lost that self, or just haven't utilized that, like, part of myself. So recently I've really just been trying to remind myself what that looks like and how that can be, and doing things on my own and being okay with not being by myself, but, like, being in my own space, in my own energy, and still being able to find joy in that. Because I think, too, a part of me probably still feels, but it's getting better. But if I wasn't surrounded by others, then it was wasted time. But it's not that. I'm relearning that, like, the value of doing something on my own. And that's been part of my journey that I've been doing, but I think it's been good. And, like, it's good because I feel like an old version of myself coming back, but, like, molding with the me that I am now. And it's been cool, and I'm hopeful, and I hope that these actions and these pursuits that I'm taking, like, serve me in the long run, as I think they're going to. And I don't know, I hope this talk has just been, people maybe relate to, maybe don't, but if you're still listening to this, I love you all, and it's a freaking journey, and it doesn't matter where you are in life to go on it. Like, you're never behind schedule. You're right on track, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Okay, I need to stop talking about this, or I'm gonna cry again. Okay, real quick, I'm so excited because, okay, so this comes out tomorrow, which is Monday the 23rd, which is crazy because we've already basically finished September. I don't know where the heck that went, but that was insane. But I'm very excited because on Friday, my dad is coming to visit, and it's just going to be so fun. And so it's really nice because my mom and dad, they just celebrated their 29th anniversary last Monday. So happy anniversary, mom and dad. But a couple weekends ago, they went to go see ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. Which is, like, Mr. Blue Sky, Evil Woman, Little Things. Sorry, I'm, like, I whisper what I'm thinking to myself, which is not helpful to anybody listening to me. Yeah, Evil Woman. Don't Bring Me Down. Oh, man, I'm so excited. And so they went to go see, ELO, which, like, a part of me was kind of jealous that they were going to do that, but, like, obviously, I'm not gonna say that because it's their wedding anniversary, and, like, go do your thing, go have fun. But my dad told me last weekend, which is crazy, it feels like that was weeks ago already, he told me, he said, how would you feel if I took the train up to Chicago and you and I went to go see ELO? And I was like, are you kidding me? And so we're gonna go. And I'm so excited. Like, it's just going to be so fun. I also just, like, I remember as a kid, or, like, especially summers, because my mom typically, up until like COVID and or just before COVID, had always worked like in office all the time. But so my dad would be home with me over the summers when like I wasn't in school and stuff, because he has his own business and works from home and all this stuff when he's not on a job. But he would always like take me to work with him on jobs, which was super fun. And we would always like crank music in the car and sing. And I just remember ELO always being one of like the big ones that we would listen to. And it's just so fun and so reminiscent. And it was really cool because last December / I think it was December, my mom and I had like our mother-daughter girl time in Chicago. I took her for a Christmas present to go to the Downton Abbey exhibit. And that was just amazing. And I'm just super excited because now I get like dad-daughter time and we get to go do like our thing, and it's just going to be so fun. And I'm just really excited. And the following weekend, I get my parents and my grandma here, and it's just, it's so, such a fruitful time of life. And I'm so excited, and there's so many fun things to look forward to in this season. And yeah, so that's all I have, you guys. I'm very thankful, and it's crazy because this time I really only had a bunch of bullet points to talk about, so it's really just been me rambling, which I guess it always is kind of, but I almost have it scripted out kind of a little bit more. But I'm just really thankful for this platform, and you know, if nobody listens, one person listens, or a bajillion listen, I'm always going to be just as thankful. And I just love you all for your support, and yeah, that's all I got. I hope you guys have a blessed week, and I will talk to you next Monday. Bye, everyone. Love you. This has been Oh My Lanta.